God, while God has called us to be faithful, He has also called us to be fruitful. And that's an important concept. So this morning, I just want to take a few minutes. It's not going to be long. And I just want to tell us a little bit more about how we can go from faithfulness into fruitfulness and why that's important. And in order to do that, I'm going to ask Mark to help me by just putting up a picture on the screen. So this is the tree outside of our house. And I walk past this tree many times. I drive past this tree many times. And actually, last week, Monday, I took the bin out. And I had a look at that branch. And I've kind of, you know, when you don't pay attention to things, I just thought that branch was a branch. It's connected to the tree. It's living its best life. It's doing what it can. And actually, upon a slightly closer inspection, I saw something very different. So I want to introduce you to Woody. Or for our Afrikaans family members, the Stucky. And Tucky is the one that you see in the picture over there. So for all intents and purposes, when we first looked at Tucky, he looked like he was part of the tree. He was faithful. Tucky was there every single Monday when I took the bin out. He was there. He looked like he's part of the tree. He's the same color as the tree. He has thorns like the thorn tree. Everything about Tucky looks like he is a fully functioning branch. But as you can clearly see, he's not. There's no fruit. There's no leaves. There's no life. There's nada. And this morning, I want to encourage us through the Word of God to understand that there's certain ways that we as Christians need to be connected in faithfulness to produce fruitfulness. So let's go to John 15, verse 4-5. It says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing." This is what it means to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be grafted into him. We need to be connected to the vine. And Jesus says this beautiful thing. I love when I read this. He says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. That is not a maybe. It's not a could be. It is, he will bear much fruit. And my heart for everybody that's come in this morning is for us to move from faithfulness into fruitfulness, where the fruit that we bear is plain for everyone to see. Not because we're trying to prove anything to anybody, but here's the thing, if you're connected to Jesus, fruit will flow. It's natural, it just happens. A healthy tree will provide good. And that I thought was just I like practical things. I'm not the smartest oak in the world, but for me, if I look at that, I can go home and go, hey, remember that branch that I brought to church? And go, hey, actually, can I go home and look in the mirror today and go, am I producing some fruit? What does the branch look like on my tree? And that branch, I'm sure at one stage was really, it was dull, it was connected, it's got other branches, there's thorns in it. Like at one stage, this branch was doing what it needed to do. It was producing fruits. It was producing the seed that was needed. But through the winds and the heat of life, it started to wither and die. It lost connection with the source of its water and its nutrients, and it snapped off. And then it fell in between two branches, as you can see from the picture. And it still looks like it's got a place. I walk past it every day. It was there. And I want us to not be those. I want us to be those that don't just look like it, but actually are those that are producing fruit. And that's my encouragement to us this morning. So I'm just going to give us three very quick keys. How do we remain fruitful in Christ? Well, the first thing that we need, this is the essential, this is the basic, is we need to meet, follow, and know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. You see that Bible that it says over there, without me, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do. That's plural. That's the world. So for many in the world, perhaps even for some who are here this morning, you don't personally know Jesus. You're not following him. You're not in him. So you're not connected to the vine. In a sense, you're a branch that's kind of just floating around doing what seems right to a man. And perhaps you, like this branch, you've become dry and withered and disconnected. And it's hard to connect to other people. It's hard to connect to God. You don't know. Or maybe you, one stage you did know, but you've drifted away. And this morning I wanted to say, you know what, as much as we take great pleasure in receiving members, the kingdom of heaven is wanting to receive members as well. And we get to do that through a public proclamation of our faith. We go, hey, I realize that it doesn't matter how good I am. It doesn't matter how many good things I do. It doesn't matter how much money I give to charity, how many hours I've spent serving the poor. None of those things qualify me to be grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ. The only way I find my way in is through a proclamation, through believing in my heart and declaring with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. So later on, we're going to give you an opportunity to come and to be part of it. And as you look at your life today, just ask yourself, like, am I in him? And is he in me? And perhaps even if you've been sitting in a church for all of your life, I'd love to say to you that you could be sitting in a church and still not be drawn into Christ, still not be in him. And later on, we're going to have a quick opportunity to take care of that. The second thing I want to touch on just very briefly as well is that if we know and follow and are in Christ, the second step is that we must be filled and led by the Holy Spirit. I love that Jesus, he sits with these guys, and I can only imagine this conversation. Jesus has passed away. He's died brutally in front of them, and he comes back, and they see him, and they're like, what, this is amazing. You've risen from the dead. You're now back, the risen king. All life is going to come through you, and you're going to rock the earth. And he goes, actually, guys, I'm going home. I'm leaving. And could you imagine what that must feel like? It boggles my mind to think about it. Like, you've just got this man back. And I think it's about another 40 days after he's been alive. He's appeared to over 500 individuals. For those of you who are on the fence, go and have a look. There is historical proof that Jesus Christ lived and walked the earth. He came back to show himself to witnesses in keeping with the prophecy in Isaiah. So he is real. There is a real person, Jesus Christ, that walked the earth. But then he comes and he says to his disciples, he says to his best friends, he says, it's better for you that I go. Because when I go, I will send you the advocate, the comforter, the one who will be, in a sense, will be God in me. And not saying I am God. It's saying that God knows I don't have the power in this flesh to live the life that I need to live. I can't follow his precepts. I can't say no to sin. I can't even praise him or lift my hands in worship without the leading and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We need this. And here's the thing. In keeping with our analogy around taki and fruit, there's actually language that's used in Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23 that I want to share with you. Here's what it says. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So on the tree of the Holy Spirit, when people look at the tree of Sean, if I am in the Holy Spirit, in other words, I know Jesus Christ and I'm following him as my Lord and Savior, I proclaim that to him, to everything under the earth and to people on the earth, and I'm indwelling, I'm walking in the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, you should be able to see these things in my life. Not all of them at all times, because I don't always listen well. I like to do my own thing. I don't like to crucify my flesh. You see, because sometimes to be patient, that means I actually have to be patient. So when the taxi driver cuts me off, or like for the last 3 days, we've had minimal water and I can't shower at night, it tests my patience. So if you come and see me at 11:30 on a night when I haven't showered, you're maybe not going to see that fruit. But 90% of the time, when you look at my life, you should see patience. You should see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there's no law. This is the fruit of a person that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it might be news for some of you. Maybe you've come out of other church denominations where someone has taught you that the Holy Spirit no longer exists, or he's no longer in power on the earth. He has no power on the earth. He doesn't do anything. The gifts of the Spirit died with the 12 apostles. And I would argue that there is a number of scriptures that point to the fact that the Holy Spirit is in fact alive and working in each and every one of us daily. It's him that brings us to Christ. It's him that gives us the power to move and live and have our being in Christ Jesus himself. So I want to ask, just as you're sitting there this morning, just do a little self-assessment. This is not a heavy, this is a preach to encourage us. I'm trying to give you tools in the toolbox. But, you know, we were supposed to have some time together as leaders yesterday, and Trevor sent a message and he said, hey, listen, I'm sorry, my car's, I've got a problem with my car. So what happens when we have a problem with something? We start to diagnose. Am I right? When you're going to sit with the doctor, if there's something wrong in your body, you're going to sit down and you're going to start to look at certain, the doctor's going to say, okay, Mona, what symptoms are you showing? Oh, I've got a headache and a snotty nose and I've got all the, and he starts to try and diagnose based on the signs that are happening in our lives and in our bodies, what is wrong with me? So that he can administer the right medication so that we can get better. You take your car to a mechanic. Mechanic's going to say, what's wrong? And what do we always do? We're going to go, there's a sound that goes, as if somehow that guy's going to know by the sound that we describe to him, what's wrong with the car? And he goes, Sorry, I'm just being a bit naughty. But it's okay. We can have fun in church, right? But when we go to the mechanic, we describe our symptoms, the symptoms of the car, and he then says, okay, look, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And we start to try and find a way to it. So perhaps as you've come in here, you are feeling like, yes, Sean, I'll tell you what, I actually don't feel very loving. I'm angry all the time. I feel very frustrated with my wife or my husband, with my children. My joy is left. I have no joy. This time of the year is actually rife with missing component number two. Our joy is over. We just want to get to the December holidays. You know, maybe this week you find out your boss said to you, listen, sorry, there's no Christmas bonus this year. Times have been tough. And you have to now navigate your heart through that. I'm not making light of that. That's a real thing. Because there's now this pressure that's starting to build up in your heart because my kids need presents. Can I just release you of that? Your kids will learn not to have presents. Teach them about Jesus. And teach them about his presence. You like that? That's good, huh? Off the top of my head. How's your peace? With all the things that are happening in the world today, man, let me tell you, I've been off social media for about 2 weeks now. It's the best decision I made. I'm not reading about what's happening in Israel anymore. I'm not reading about what's happening in the United States anymore. I'm not reading about the crime in Joburg anymore. And actually, you know what? I'm reading the Word because I have more time. I'm praying for you because I have more time. And suddenly, as the Holy Spirit is coming and taking up residence in me, I'm starting to feel more peaceful. And when my kids can start to understand it, you guys are probably seeing it, and people go, hey, you look a bit different. Yeah, because I'm not feeding myself the filth that social media is trying to teach me. How's your patience? How's your patience with your wife? How's your patience with your husband? Look at each other and ask, how am I doing, babe? Am I okay? I'm okay. I think I'm okay. But this is not a bad question to ask. In marriages, we should be asking each other this. Fathers, you should be sitting with your kids and saying, guys, what's my attitude been like lately? Am I reflecting a father led by the Holy Spirit through how I act? Am I patient? Am I kind? Yo, when Dane comes and asks me for the last Dorito in my chip, I love chips. Am I willing to? Am I kind? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Giving it away means I could have it, but I give it to you. Because you're more precious to God than me in this moment. Please don't ask me for chips later. How's your goodness? How's your faithfulness? Can I say to you, you know, when we return to the Lord his finances, it's an act of faithfulness. It's an overflow of gratitude. You know, tithing, we can teach it and it can become a burdensome thing to you. And there's strong language used in the Bible. People are called robbers because they take the money that belongs to God. And even as I say that, some of you are squirming because the first time I heard it, I squirmed. But the fact is, as we grow in the understanding of the Holy Spirit, I realize that if God has given me everything that I have, the least I can do is honor him in everything that he's given me and give it back to him. How's your faithfulness? The gentleness. I don't want to take too long. The gentleness. Yo, man, this is a real one. Are you gentle or are you prickly and tough? And do people scoot out the room when they see you coming in? I've known a couple of people like that in the business world. Honestly, when they walk in, I'm looking for the exit. Because I know they're going to come, they're going to criticize what I've done, or else they're going to tell me about how terrible their life is. And then when I try to encourage them, they'll just, wah, they'll hit me. Gentleness. Finally, how's your self-control? Are you able to say no when you should? Are you able to say no when you should? The Lord convicted me at the beginning of last year about my weight. He convicted me and he said to me, Sean, you know what? In 1 Timothy 3, it says that an elder, an overseer, a shepherd should be one who has self-control. And self-control doesn't mean that I just dress appropriately and look outwardly as if I am somebody who has self-control. But when you look at me and you look at my body, should, and please within reasonable, I just want to say, like, don't check me out. Help. When you look at my body, it should reflect something of self-control. There should be something that looks and says, that guy looks like he puts a fair amount of time into exercise. He tries to eat relatively well. He gets enough sleep. I'm stewarding what God has given me because that self-control translates into you. If I can control what I eat and what I drink and how much of that I do, I can be an example to you. And this is not a heavy for anybody. And I want to say to you, I take absolutely zero, zip, nada, nix credit for this. This has been a work of the Holy Spirit. That man over there said, Sean, I tell you what, why don't we go and start CrossFit? I had not run, walked at a brisk pace in 25 years. And the beginning of last year, he said, come, let's go. I'll pay for you, let's go. I said, okay, well, please only pray for 1 month. I don't think I can commit to more than that. And we started, and can I just tell you, it was the worst thing I ever had to endure. I thought I was going to die. You can ask and tell. There were like days I'd come back from CrossFit. For the first 5 hours, I was useless. I could hardly move. But suddenly, a little bit of perseverance and endurance started to come. Then I started to notice certain changes to my body. This part has taken the longest to catch up with the rest. Please pray for the stomach anointing. But I started to build, but it wasn't me. I didn't have it in me to get up. Something, and I read the scripture in 1 Timothy 3, and something in me changed. And the Holy Spirit said, Sean, I need you to win this battle. And it's not just for you, it's for others. And a year and a half later, or almost 2 years later, we played yesterday for 3-4 hours, touch rugby, cricket outside. I'm feeling the best I've ever felt in a long, long time. It's not something I could do. I drew on the Holy Spirit and said, Lord, you need to get me out of bed this morning. I have to get there. This is the beauty of walking in the Holy Spirit. He helps us. He is the helper. You don't have to do this alone. I'm not trying to put you under heavy burdens and weights this morning. I'm trying to free you up to say that there is one that can help us to get where we need to go. And then finally, like any good plant, any good tree, for maximum growth, we need to be pruned. Every now and again, we need to be pruned. And actually, I had a look online this morning, and I said, what happens with trees that are not pruned? And here's what it says. Thank you, ChatGPT. See, I'm not using it for scripture. I'm using it for, this is for scientific stuff. It says, unpruned trees, listen to this, can develop structural weaknesses. Increased increased susceptibility to pests and diseases. They are safety hazards to others through falling branches, and they have a decreased aesthetic appeal. Is that not interesting? When we don't allow, when we don't spend time trimming and pruning and hacking back on our trees, we actually become structurally weak. We have an increased threat of being eaten by pests and diseases. We become a safety hazard to other people. And we have a decreased aesthetic appeal. That means when people look at that tree, it actually goes, ugh. Have you guys ever been to Vergelegen? Those trees are amazing, eh? And the hedges, and it's so beautifully trimmed, and you can run your hand along it like that, and there's no little, it's stunning. Why? Because there's been pruning that's taken place. Somebody has invested time and effort to make sure that that hedge is beautifully aesthetic. So if we are the branches, and he is the vine and the vine dresser, from time to time, the Lord is going to come, and he's going to want to snip something away, Chardonnay. He's going to want to cut something away that doesn't look like you. It might be a branch that's higher than all the other branches, and because of it, the rest of the tree is not getting light. And it might be the most beautiful looking branch because it's getting all of the light, but the rest of the tree is dying. And maybe the Lord comes and cuts it off, and you slowly see the most beautiful thing that was is now gone, and all of a sudden, the rest of the tree starts to have life. Perhaps it's something that's actually, maybe there's a branch. Maybe there's a woody or a tucky in your life that's just no longer useful in any way, shape, or form. It might be an addiction. It might be a thought pattern. It might be a pattern of behavior in your life that's come through abuse or the way that you were brought up or whatever the case may be, and it's just been something that's part of you for all of your life. And when this thing happens, I respond like that. And the Lord goes, actually, I'd love to set you free from that. I want to come and cut that thing out of your life. Like a cancerous growth, I'm going to cut that thing out. I'm going to remove it so that you can come into health. But like surgery, sometimes it hurts a little bit. And we can smack the hand of the vine dresser away, or we can willingly climb on the table and say, okay, Lord, come and prune me. I want to have good fruit. I want to demonstrate good things to those around me. So I want to say to you, as an encouragement, this is one of my favorite quotes. It's not a biblical quote, but it's one of my favorite quotes. And it says this: sitting in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. I'll say that again. Sitting in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. You can be faithful. You can come and sit here week after week after week. You can have your designated chair. The people that are doing coffee can know exactly how you take your coffee. The worship team can know exactly what your favorite worship song is. And you can be sitting here dead. Like the branch that's just hanging there. It's not connected. It's not in him. Like that. It's there. It looks like it's part of the tree. It has a semblance of life, but it's dead. It's of no use to itself or to anything else. And in fact, what the word says is that this is only good for one thing, actually. For being collected and thrown into the fire. This is firewood. Useless. It's not even good firewood. Is this okay? Are you guys with me? I'm landing. I really am. So I want to just say to you that faithfulness is something that we can measure to a certain degree in how often you pray. Do you come regularly on a Sunday? Do you stand up and wave your hands in worship? And we can look at all these things. Are you committed to fellowship? Are you in community all the time? And you can do all of those things to conform outwardly, yet your heart is far from him. And I felt like this morning there's such a beautiful invitation for all of us to come and be grafted into the vine. So I want to ask you, as we do this, can we do just a little self-assessment? I've spoken to you this morning about We need to meet, follow, and know Jesus personally. If you're sitting here this morning, I'd love to ask you, do you know Jesus? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Do you recognize that you could be sitting here, you could really be a good person? And I look around and there's like people I can look at and go like, wow, that is such a good person. Like butter wouldn't melt in that person's mouth. But if you've taken a pen from work that doesn't belong to you, you've actually sinned. Jesus says to the disciples, he says, if you've said to your brother or to another person, you fool, you've actually murdered them in your heart. Do we have any murderers in the house? I'm one. And if you're honest, I'm pretty sure the whole house is full here. And as a sinner, that means that there is a judgment that must be meted out. There is a good judge goes, that is wrong, and there must be a consequence. That's what a good judge does. So people will say, why does God send good people to hell? He doesn't send good people to hell. In fact, he doesn't even want sinners to go to hell, but we choose to reject the message, much like I'm giving this morning. We reject that and say, no, thank you, I don't want any. When the Lord is reaching out. So I want to say to you this morning, perhaps you don't know Jesus. You're not following him. He's not the Lord of your life. Would you consider this morning that perhaps that could be something that you want to do? Just a possibility. Secondly, I want to ask, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you overflowing with the Holy Spirit? Are the fruits of the Spirit easy for you? Or has that become something which just seems like words of condemnation as I read Galatians 5 and I go, oh, I don't think I'm that. This morning, like Christ said, it's better for you that I go. I'm sending you the helper. Maybe we can pray for you quickly for the Holy Spirit. And then if you are here this morning and you've been pushing away, like God has been touching something in your life that he wants to cut, that he wants to prune, that he wants to remove because it's no longer life-giving to you and you've been pushing his hand away, I want to ask you, won't you respond this morning so that we can actually speak to God and ask him to help us, that we can, in a sense, give our lives back to him and say, Father, would you come and do? Would you prune in me? Would you change in me? Would you shape me and mold me and make me the way that you want me to be? Could we do that this morning?